When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
LA's home for NFL football.
Get pumped, baby! Vegas touchdown! Touchdown! LA! Toward the end zone leaps! Touchdown, Chargers!
This is LA Football Mondays.
Let's go, boy!
Talking all things LA football with Rams Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson. Brought to you by the Ford F-150. With combined toughness and intelligence.
Head up!
Test drive one at your local Southern California Ford dealership today. Here's Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, and Eric Dickerson.
All right, here we go. We look forward to it every Monday. Perhaps this Monday more so than others.
Got it.
Let's welcome on our buddy Eric Dickerson. ED, welcome.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing? Rodney, how you doing? What's your name again?
Yeah.
Fred. What's up, Fred? How you doing, man?
Good start. All right. First of all.
E-Diesel.
E-Diesel.
My brothers.
E-Diesel. Welcome back, man.
Yeah, where
Thanks,
were
man.
You? That's what Rodney said. You were on this exotic tour. Where have you been?
I was in Puerto Rico. I was in Puerto Rico for 3 days, and then I went to the Dominican Republic. It was a nice trip. It really was. I gotta say, man, they got some beautiful women out there. I gotta go and put it out there. Yeah, and you know what, man? Because I've never been to the Dominican Republic, but you know they're our color. They're black. They just like us. They're like brothers and sisters. You know,
yeah, poppy.
Yeah, poppy. I see it. But man, I had a great trip. It was a golf trip. Let me tell you something, man. Ain't no place like home, brother. I don't care where you go. Ain't no place like to get back home. But I got to tell you this. I got to start off with this.
Yeah.
Have you ever had chicken bones put in your pocket before?
Stop it, stop
man.
It.
You know where I'm going with this.
No, hold
he did
on.
Not.
Whoa, whoa, whoa,
tell
whoa,
me
whoa,
he
whoa,
did
whoa.
Not.
Yes, he did. Yes,
no,
he did.
No, he did
yes,
not.
Yes, he did.
Wait, what does this mean?
Oh, well, man. Oh,
Rodney knows. Rodney knows.
Go right, ahead, anyway. E.D. Oh, my so, God. He got away with it.
Yeah, so I guess like a month ago, a couple of weeks ago, Rodney, Chris Hale, and one of SC's big alumni, Will Smith. Will is one of y'all's big alumni.
Yeah.
So they fly over to Fort Bend, Indiana, when they play Notre Dame, in Will's jet, I got to say. And I guess they're out, you know, the tailgating and some, I guess, the people next door. The food that they had, Will and them had, wasn't that good. So Will goes over and starts taking chicken from the other people. So I guess Rodney and Chris, they go and start eating chicken too. Well, Chris starts sticking the eating chicken bones in Will's pocket, the skeletal bones, basically, in his pocket. So, okay, boom. It's funny as heck. It's funny. So last night, I get home late. I get home about after 1 o'clock. And I just wanted to watch everything. So I watched everything. And I'm up to 5. I dry everything. And I'm like, who in the hell got all these chicken bones in this dryer? I'm like, what in the world is up with this? I mean, it's like a bunch of chicken.
Oh,
I mean, I'm like, first I thought, I said, well, I know, you know, look like a little chicken or like a bird got in something, got, I mean, dried up. I thought maybe a bird died, man. I'm like, okay, so boom. I said, I got to ask the kids. I got to ask Penny who had the chicken bone, who had the chicken in their pocket. So I talked to Chris this morning. He said, man, did you get them chicken? I tried to text you about them chicken. I said, when did you start putting them chicken bones in my pocket? So, yes, I had a bunch of chicken bones in our dryer this morning. I'm trying to wonder, why in the hell we got chicken bones in the dryer? So, Chris Hale, thank you for my chicken bones.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I did not know that.
So, yeah, he got me, too, with the chicken bones. I'm like, I said, you could be a pickpocket, because I didn't feel him putting the chicken bones in my, these golf shorts I got on.
Because we were on this little string this morning, Fred, and Will brought it up, but I didn't know that's what he was talking about. I thought he was referencing the Notre Dame game. Yeah, because Will, our friend, went to the tailgate next to us, which were Notre Dame people. And he started eating their chicken. Me and Chris were looking at him like, what are you doing over there? And he held up the chicken. He was like, oh, we going over there too. So we went and got the chicken.
Your chicken too.
And so Will did the same thing. Did not know they were in his pocket. And Chris had been stuffing them in his pocket the whole time. And we get ready to go in the stadium. He puts his, puts his hands in his pocket. And they're nothing but greasy. Not even in a napkin. He put them in pocket full of bones. Greasy chicken bones all in his pocket.
He wrapped mine in some napkins. But imagine all the paper in the dryer this morning, last night. But I swear, man, I'm like, who in the world is eating chicken, even chicken in their pocket? I didn't know it was him.
Eric, you said, on your trip to the Dominican and Puerto Rico, you thought the women were attractive.
Oh, you picked up on that, huh, Fred? I see you picked up on that, didn't you?
Yeah, I'd like to know, what made them so attractive.
Man, I mean, they got, you're talking about bodies over there, boy. They got bodies by Jake. I mean, we were just sitting there, outside, watching them walk by. Like, wow. And they had some big thing going on at the kind of the convention center there, because we stayed at the Hard Rock. I'm not a Hard Rock guy, but it was cool. But it's not my first choice, but it was cool to stay there. But they had some convention going on, makeup convention. And man, I'm telling you, Fred, I mean, even you would have been like, wow. You probably would, I think even a young Fred would try to get up and try to say something to a woman. I mean, you would rap. I don't know what rap you would use. Hi, I'm Fred. No,
Could you speak Spanish, Fred?
No.
I'm Fred Rado. And I'm from California.
I don't think I would have done that, Eric.
But yeah, I'm going to tell you, Fred. I mean, I got to say, some beautiful women over there, really. Beautiful people. Just, really just nice people. I got to say that. You know, the Latino people are just really, really, the culture is just fantastic, I got to say. I mean, Dominican, Puerto Rican. I mean, it was just, I had a great trip. I really did.
Yeah, we were in Puerto Rico a couple of years ago. I really liked it there.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
I thought it was great. Yeah, very pretty.
Let me tell you something, man. I mean, it's some beautiful homes at the course. I played at Punta Espada. What is it? Punta Espada. Man, that is a beautiful golf course. I mean, beautiful golf course. I got to say, one of the nicest courses I've ever played on.
Which one did I've been to Dominican a couple times. I haven't been to Puerto Rico though. Dominican was beautiful. We played a couple golf courses there. Which one did you enjoy more, Ed? Puerto Rico?
The golf course in Dominican at Punta Espada for sure. I mean, that course was absolutely gorgeous. You they talk about Pebble Beach, man. Pebble Beach can't handle that course. I mean, it's on a different level. It really is. And I heard it, before I went there. And so I got to say, I really enjoyed going. And thank you. If any Puerto Rican people out there and listening to our show, and also Dominican, man, I love your country. And we had a great time.
All right. Well, you're back home now. And tonight the Rams take on the 49ers. And while you were gone, they acquired Odell Beckham Jr. What do you think of that move?
Man, let me tell you something. That's funny you say that. I was in my hotel that morning getting ready to head to Dominican from Puerto Rico. And they were talking about it on ESPN. And something just said, we're going to end up with him. Because I'd heard they talked about the Raiders. They talked about Green Bay. They talked about some other teams. And I don't know why I said this is a move that the Rams would make. I just got a feeling. When the next day, I'm like, okay, I'm not shocked. I mean, I'm not shocked. And I talked about it with Petros and Money. I talked about him coming here, when they had signed him. I mean, look, if he wants to come here, I think Odell is a great talent. I think he still is very, very talented as a player. But one thing you don't hear a lot of nonsense coming out of the Rams camp. I mean, I got to say, that's a close-knit football team. It reminds me of our old team. We had close-knit. Whatever goes on, you kind of keep in the locker room. You don't hear a lot of, chitter-chatter. You don't see a lot of, you know, like he pulled up in his jet and all that. Come, you know, come on, man. I mean, if you want to come, just come. You don't need to do all that. But if that's your thing, that's fine. But here in L.A., this is Los Angeles. You know, these people got lots of jets out here. You know, that ain't no yeah. People got lots of Rolls Royces out here. You know, that's like I said, that's how we roll in L.A. So that's no big deal. But for me, for as a talent, if he wants to come in and add to our football team, I think it could be great because I know one thing. McVay is going to get the best out of him. If he has anything left to put out, McVay is going to get him out. He's going to put him in a position to win. And it's only one ball. Know that. It's one. It ain't three balls out there. It's one ball. So don't come here crying, I ain't getting the ball and all that. Hey, man, look, you. This is a football team, not a football player. And that's what I like about McVay and the Los Angeles Rams. You know, you don't hear nothing coming out of that camp.
Yeah, until it's done. I mean, that's the best part about it. Until it's signed, sealed, and delivered. It's not, you know, hear rumors, speculation, whatever. All of a sudden, the deal is done. When you start hearing about him to the Rams, the deal was done. And that's the beauty of the way the Rams operate. And I said this too. You know, people going, well, how's he going to be? He was this way in Cleveland and that way in Cleveland. We heard everything from afar, right? We don't know necessarily exactly how the dynamic of that locker room was or his relationship with Baker Mayfield. We know his dad put out a lot of stuff, but we don't necessarily know how he was. And I looked at it as, you know, I don't know if there was a better situation for him. And this is before, you know, Robert Woods went down, God forbid. He went down and hopefully he can be all right and bounce back. I feel bad for him because he was having a great season and he does so much for the Rams. But even before that, I thought this was a perfect opportunity for him to come into a place where he can thrive. And to your point, Ed, he's coming into a situation where he's got to adapt. And then like people got to adapt to him. He's got to adapt to the way the Rams do things. And he's not going to be able to come in here and just change the culture or anything like that. Or like you said, I want this, I need this, I demand that. And I don't think he will. I think he understands this is a great opportunity for him to thrive, to be in front and center in the spotlight in L.A., which he wants to be, and with a great football team and a great organization to resurrect his career. I think this is the best place for him.
Right. I mean, and they're welcoming. We will welcome him here. I mean, the fans will welcome him here. You know, just come out there and do what you do. I mean, and that's it. I mean, it was just like when DeSean Jackson wanted to be traded. Okay, we'll try to find a trade, but if not, boom, we just cut you. No problem. You know, you don't want to be here. I mean, and look, this team has enough firepower. We don't need it. I mean, I'll say that. But for me, I think it could be a great deal for the LA Rams, and I think for Odell Beckham also. So let's just see if he can make some of them one-handed catches, you know, and just Rodney, just play football, man. It'll take care of itself. I mean, exactly. Look, he's not a rookie. He's not a kid. You know, right now, I mean, it's like a plane. He's not taking off. He's going in for landing now. You know, it's the career is – it's just a leveled off. Now you're starting to go in, you know, buckle your seatbelts up. You know, going to be a little rough ride. Now we're going to start and you start going in for landing. It's about that time. I mean, so, you know, you don't want to leave the game, you know, with this stigma that you're a bad, bad guy. Even though it happens. I mean, you look, Randy Moss was that guy. Oh, he's bad, you know, bad, terrible guy. Randy's not. Randy wasn't a bad guy. You know, when you say some things, the media is most definitely going to put more on it than it's really on it. It's like, who wants to hear about you helping an old lady across the street? They don't want to hear about that. Now, if you shot at the old lady walking across the street, that's different. Or you tried to run over her. Oh, my God. NFL player tried to hit an old lady walking across the street. Did you read about it? You know, that's the stuff people want to hear. I mean, which is bad. But I hate to say that, but that's what sells.
Okay, Rodney, Eric, you know, Rodney's a quarterback. Eric just has a teammate. The guy gets here Thursday. He's in the lineup Monday and ready to go. Is that a difficult transition, Rodney, as a quarterback with a receiver?
It is, but I'm sure they worked on it. They're not going to give him the whole playbook. I'm sure they're going to have like 10 to 15 plays that they work on with him. They said, okay, Odell, we don't expect you in 3 days to learn the whole offense. But learn these 10 plays and we're going to work with you and we're going to work you in the game. And I think that accelerated a little bit with Robert Woods going down that he's now going to have to probably play a little bit more. But But I think it's going to be an easy, smooth transition for him because, again, they're not going to have him in there every single down where he's going to be overloaded with looks and I got to read this blitz and what do I do on this adjustment and all those type of things. They'll give him some plays where he can thrive. And I'm telling you, tonight, I'm looking, he's going to make two or three wild plays that people are going to go, uh-oh. The rich got richer.
You know? I hope so. I hope you're right about that. And that's true, Rodney, with what he says, because when I got to the Colts, that trade was on October 31st, Halloween. I forgot if it was a Thursday or whatever. I think it was like a Thursday. And I got to Indianapolis like that Friday, and we were traveling to New York, I think, that next day. And then they were trying to, you know, put me plays in that I could run, you know, because one thing was opposite was like, and Rodney, you know this, like 2-4-6-8 is to the right. 1-3-5-9 to the left. Well, at the Colts, it was switched around. It was on the other side, man. And I had to remember that, you know, 2-4-6-8 to the left. So, you know, they gave me a couple of plays that I could run. You know, that was kind of like something that I was used to. They put in some stuff for me, like they didn't have a 46 and 47 gap. They implemented that in. So yeah, I mean, he's going. It's a learning curve because look, you don't come in and just learn an offense. I mean, I think people think that football is like, okay, you go here, you do this, we gonna like drop in the playground. It didn't work like that. That's a lot to it.
Okay, and as both of you guys played throughout your career, and you know, you said Eric, I thought it was brilliant. You know, he's coming in for a landing now. This is not takeoff. Did you guys play either one of you with guys that were really flashy? Now, there was no social media back then, but still, guys really flashy, guys that sought the attention, and what was that like?
Not flashy. I had one guy, he's passed away, boy. Our guy, Gary Jeter, he played with us at the Rams. And Gary, Jeets. You remember Jeet?
Yeah.
Jeet always dressed nice. You know, I thought he was really always black. You know, came from the Giants and always, you know, had him a nice suit on. But God rest his soul, we had the ugly man contest.
Ugmo. Eric, wait a minute.
You always do.
I was told about the another story. I was told about the Ugmo contest.
Ugly man. It's called ugly man contest.
All right. And I went on and said that he had won. I did that.
You said that Gary Jeter won it?
Gary Jeter won.
Yeah. Because
you went on TV and said it?
Because they told me it was called Ugmo. I thought it was like a funny thing you guys just goofed around.
Oh, no. It was a whole deal with trophies and everything. The trophies. And boy, Jeter was pissed, too, man. But yeah, Jeter was always fly, cool. You know, look at my $800 suit, man. That's back in the day. You know, in the 80s, you had an $800 suit. My God. I mean, Jeter, he dressed nice. But he did win the Ugly Man contest. He wouldn't come and accept it. So you know what they did?
He would not come to the
we had a dinner that night. He wouldn't come accept it. So they had a big blow up gorilla and accept it for Gary Jeter. We have his cousin Keith Cole. Man, let me tell you something. That was so funny. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I miss about the NFL.
Rodney, did you have anybody that was real flashy that you played with?
Yeah. You know, I went to when I went from Detroit to Dallas, man, that whole team was flashy. I mean, I was down there with Michael Irvin, and it was, you know, the loudest color suit you can ever think of on every single road trip and before the games and fur coats and the whole nine. So, yeah, Michael, he was the playmaker in his day, you know, in that early mid-90s. So, yeah, he was really the only one. Because the other teams, you know, in Detroit, there wasn't. Barry was the guy, but he wasn't flashy. He was the opposite of flashy. You talk about getting, you know, Jeter having the nice suits, and Barry had the cheapest clothes ever. Barry was.
I heard Barry known for that.
Yeah, he used to call him Easter Barry because Barry would wear that Easter suit just about every week to the play.
Easter Barry.
All right, so, you know, OBJ is here, and at first there was some thought, why would you go out and get a receiver like that? Because you already have receivers, and then the Robert Woods injury. And how devastating is that? And how fortunate is it that they actually did go out and get a receiver?
Go ahead, Rodney.
No,
go ahead, Rodney.
No, it's It's devastating because Robert Woods is a guy, you know, I think they're going to figure out how much Robert Woods really brought to the table. He did more than just catch passes. Robert Woods, if you notice any big running play, Robert Woods is in there blocking. He's blocking on the edge. He did everything you asked him to do. He ran those jet sweeps. I mean, he did a lot of things for that team, and they asked him to do a lot of things. So they're certainly going to miss him and what he brought to the table. And plus, he was a very smart guy and smart receiver. So, yeah, they're definitely going to miss him. And they're going to have to try to get, you know, LBJ up or OBJ up to speed on a lot of those things. But like I said, they'll bring him along slowly. They won't throw the whole thing at him. They'll give him a few plays and things that he does really well. And from all accounts that I've heard, that he is, from a football standpoint, his football IQ is very, very high. So, you know, and even though McVay's offense is complex, I think he'll fit in well. And they'll bring him along slow with some plays that just really tailor to him, you know, 10 or 12 so plays that he does really well, and just utilize him in certain spots as the season goes on.
You're right, Rodney, because, I mean, if you watch close, you see some of the blocks that Robert Woods lays down. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't see a lot of receivers doing that. I mean, you got to think, a receiver sometimes has to block a linebacker. They have to block a safety. They block a corner. But, you know, they're like, look, I was brought here to catch balls, not block. And you could see that. That was big for Robert Woods, you know, to block with his teammates. I mean, you can see all the receivers block each other. You know, Cooper Kupp, you know, all the guys, they do a good job. So let's hope that OBJ will come in here and just pick up. And, well, you know, you can't replace a Robert Woods because, I mean, he's such a good guy, and I think he's a great receiver, good for the football team, plays hard, works hard. You hate to see that happen. I mean, I hate to see these injuries. No contact injury. I don't know what happened exactly. I just heard it was, you know, in practice. But those are some big shoes to fill. Let's put it like that.
All right, Eric, while you were on vacation, Nature Boy listens every day. We had a conversation about alligators on the golf course. Did you see any alligators on the golf course?
Nature Boy, no, I did not. Let me tell you something, Fred, man. That's for real, brother. I mean, I've been on the golf course where it was alligators. Matter of fact, this coming week, I'm going someplace where it's alligators.
You're going down to Florida?
You know it. And that's where I saw him, at Florida. Man, we went to Florida. This was about 10 years ago. I'm just, you know, white guys and brothers, we just different.
Hold on. White guys and brothers, you just different.
I told you the story. I told him the story last week, AD.
I'm sure it probably mimics mine. I'm sure. I didn't even hear it, but I bet it mimics it. So it's an island green. The ball's over on the island, and the guy, oh, man, it's a gator over there. Come on, guys. I'm like, are you out of your mind? I'm not going on that green. Come on, Eric. I said, dog, I'm not going nowhere near that green. I said, y'all take your asses over there if you want to. I said, it ain't going to be no da-na-na-t, da-na-na-t. Breaking news. Tragedy in Florida. No, I said, no, I'm not doing that deal. No, Fred, I mean, you know, gators ain't nothing. I'm afraid of alligators. I mean, they will kill you. I don't know if you know that or not.
I'm aware of that.
Okay, yeah, thank
Fred,
you.
Don't mess with the gators. They take you down to the bottom and roll you around a little bit.
Exactly.
Fred.
I bet you, if you took 10 brothers and did that same scenario, they'd be like, oh, no, I'm not doing that.
Well, yeah, but Rodney knew a number of brothers and weren't afraid to jump in and swim with the gators.
No, they weren't brothers.
No, they weren't brothers.
This was the white linebackers.
Thank you. I see.
We went to play Jacksonville, down at that TPC course in Jacksonville. They had a little tournament with Cadillac, and it was, you know, football players playing with old, you know, senior league players, and we played, and there was gators all, you know, coming on the bank of the course and stuff like that, and they were in the water, and I told you at night after one of those cocktail parties, they got together and said, let's go race across this lake, and they jumped in and swam across the lake knowing there's gators in there. There was no black guys did that, Fred.
Oh, I was unaware.
No, yeah, no.
Oh, come on, Fred. We ain't doing that kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you, matter of fact, there was a guy, his brother, he goes over to, I think it was, give it to Catalina. I think he told me it was Catalina. I don't know if it was Catalina the desert or something. Anyway, he's out there playing.
Well, there's a bit of a difference between Catalina
I just can't remember. The desert. He said, man, we out there, we're playing golf, having fun. We run across a rattlesnake.
Oh, God.
We're going across a rattlesnake, and we're gonna mess with the snake. Now, this is one brother and like four or five white guys. So we're gonna pick up the, they're gonna pick the rattlesnake up. We're picking it up, you know, tossing it around, you know, having fun until the rattlesnake bit him. He said, all of a sudden, all that booze went out the window. Man, get me to a hospital. I need to get to a hospital right quick. I said, oh, now it ain't no more fun and games. Now the rattlesnake, like I say, it ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun, is it?
Well, what happened?
The rattlesnake went rattlesnake. Right, Fred,
he rushed his ass to the hospital. They say he sobered up right quick.
What happened to him? He's okay?
Yeah, he didn't die. No, he didn't die. But that's just good. That was a white guy. I said, y'all just different, man. Y'all just, it's like a horror movie. You see the horror movies? It's a, it's, dog, you hear the sound over there? What's that sound? You hear this in the background. Hey, what's that over there? What's that sound? What's that, Bob? Oh, Tom, I don't know. Let's go look and see what it is. It's dark as hell. There's something over there growling. That's what it is. Get your ass to running.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Okay, our Monday visits with Eric are brought to you by the Ford F-150. Check one out at your Southern California Ford dealership today. When we come back, it was bad for the Raiders. It was bad for the Chargers. Just bad. We'll get to it.
Now, your chance to put $1,000 in your pocket. Text the nationwide keyword GREEN to 200-200. You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. That's GREEN to 200-200. Good luck. Thanks for joining us on your ride.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Speaking of which, traffic.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Together, all right, we can make things happen.
Presented by your Southern California Ford dealers. This is LA Football Mondays. Visit buyfordnow.com. Now, here's Eric Dickerson, Fred Rogan, and Rodney Peete.
AM 570, LA Sports.
Oh, yeah, it's an LA Football Monday. Rodney Peete, Fred Rogan, and the Hall of Famer, Eric Dickerson. What's happening on a Monday?
Okay.
Everything.
Yeah, everything. Let's continue on. So, you know, as guys that know the Raiders very well, it started off great, and now it has kind of gone south for a number of reasons. A few players and what they did, John Gruden suing the league, he's gone, and they did not look very good last night, Rodney and Eric. They just really did not look very good.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They resurrected Kansas City is what they did last night. They let Kansas City, everybody thought Kansas City was dead. It's one of them, you know, get back games, you used to call them. You know, we need a get back game, a get right game. They used to Raiders as the get right game.
Boy. Slap you around a little bit.
Exactly. Get some confidence up again. No, they didn't. They didn't. You know, it's weird. It's been a weird season because you thought that, okay, they got all that turmoil going on. They used it as a rallying cry. They looked really good for a couple weeks, you know, with the Gruden situation and then the Rugg situation. And it felt like they were able to, you know, came together and overcame that. But then they lose like that at home to a in-division rival. Makes it interesting to see where they go, both them and the Chargers. That division is kind of wide open now where they had their opportunity, both them and the Chargers had opportunity to kind of put the foot on the gas, you know, on Kansas City. But now Kansas City's kind of coming back a little bit. So the Raiders might be in trouble of making the playoffs now.
Yeah, when you saw the Chiefs play the week before, they didn't look that good. I mean, they're like, wow. I mean, this team is not as good as people think they are. And it showed last night that maybe they are, or maybe they just have the Raiders number. I mean, you know, you don't want to lose, but you don't want to get beat 41-14 at home. That's a that's an ass whooping. That's like I'm gonna come in here, I'm gonna slap you around, I'm gonna slap you around in front of your wife. I'm gonna sit down and say, make me something to eat, shut the hell up. that's what that was. I mean, and they put a 500 yards of total offense on them. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, Rodney?
Yeah.
So, the Raiders, I'm like you, they're in a little bit of trouble. And I got a few bets out on the Raiders, too, with some guys. I mean, they want to bet the Rams. They're going to have a better record than the Rams. I already won a box of golf balls with my boy, Phil McCall. So, you know, I already got them coming in. So, I know, they ain't going to catch up. And I got $100 bet with another guy that we're going to have a better record than the Raiders. So, I just want us to keep winning. But back to the Raiders, I mean, you know, they've got so much going on. I mean, really, they have a lot going on. I got a text that says, I got to read this text to you. It's one of the memes. It says, 4 days without an incident, the Raiders. I'm like, wow. I'm like, wow. I mean, that's a slap in the face. I mean, it really is, because, you know, no organization wants that. They really don't. I mean, and the Raiders didn't ask for that. I mean, the players, I'm sorry for the young guy, Ruggs. I feel bad for him. I feel bad for the family, for sure, losing a mother or a sister, whatever that was. And, you know, you got players who are pulling guns. I mean, showing guns on video. I mean, that's dumb. That's just doing dumb things. But, you know, like I say, the Raiders, I still believe the Raiders are the right team to be in Las Vegas, to be honest with you.
No, I don't think there's any question about that. But given the way they started and where they're at, I think it's a stretch to say they're even a playoff team at this point. I mean, they're in deep trouble. It's like the wheels are coming off the bus.
Yeah, the excuses will be, man, we had a lot going on. I mean, that would be the excuses. You know, our coach got fired. You know, we had a player that, you know, got in an incident, you know, killed someone. We had another player with COVID. It's just a lot going on. And that's an excuse. It really is, because, look, the players play. I mean, it's the players on the field. It's just the coaches who call the plays. And you know what, Rodney? I'm sure you've been out there when you say, hey, man, this ain't working. We got to call something else. I mean, and a good coach will listen. Like, what do you think? What do you think we should? What do you think we should do? I don't know about today's football. In the old days of football, for sure they would listen.
Yeah, they would. You know, especially if you go a quarter and a half, and you can't do whatever you had planned, and the game plan wasn't working, or they were stuffing you, and you down. You got to have a conversation, and sometimes. Most of the time, you're right, that the coaches will listen, but I've been with them stubborn ones, too, that just stay the course. Stay the course. We're going to stay the course and get beat by 40.
Yeah, right. Have you looked at the scoreboard? We're sticking with the run. I know it's 30 to nothing. We're going to stick with the run.
As for the Chargers, not a very good outing for them yesterday, either. And we had Austin Eckler. I was telling Rodney earlier, Eric, on our show last night, and he goes, you know, I've been here before. This is not new. We're on the fence. And at this point, we can go one way or the other. I think, and you guys would be much better at explaining this, that, you know, like in baseball, Rodney, hitter comes up, red hot, spraying the ball all over the field. Second time around, the pitchers have adjusted to the hitter. So the hitter must adjust again. When I'm watching Justin Herbert, who is incredibly talented, it seems like people have started to adjust to him, and that is causing him problems. Am I nuts here?
Well, I mean, a little bit, because we talked about last week in the Philly game against the Eagles, how great he played, you know, and especially down the stretch, and made some big-time throws, and they were able to keep the ball, you know, for 6-7 minutes at the end of that game in Philadelphia to seal it and end the game on the field offensively. And then you come to yesterday, where there were just some moments in that game. For most of the game, he struggled and could not figure out the Vikings defense, and he really struggled. First of all, it's going to happen with a second-year quarterback, but just to say that he is, you know, regressed or they figured him out, I don't know if that's the case, because, again, like I said, last week he had a great game. They had some stumbles along the way, but to me, it's more they have trouble stopping anybody. You know, team, even the Philadelphia game, Philadelphia put up points on them. And this was supposed to be the strength of their team was their defense. And it feels like their defense is getting scored upon a lot easier than I guess they anticipated or anybody anticipated going into the season.
Well, they gave up 180 yards rushing. They gave up 94 to Dalvin Cook. And then I mean, don't get it wrong. Like you said, they ain't stopping nobody. Kirk Cousins lit them up.
Yes.
Almost 300 yards and two touchdowns. I mean, and I always tell people this. Don't forget, those guys on that other team over there, they get paid too. They're pros. That defense, they're professionals. They have a game plan. They will find a weakness. They'll find something you don't like, something that he doesn't do very. No quarterback is perfect. No quarterback can do it all. You think they all cannot? Not Aaron Rodgers. You know, not the great Tom Brady. All of them can. They have a weakness, and whatever that weakness is, they try to put that into a game plan. Look, he didn't like this coverage. This confuses him a little bit. You know, he's young, so we're gonna run this on him. So I'm like you, Rodney. I don't think he's regressed at all. I mean, his team has to give him some help, and their running game, you know, it's not on par. I mean, you got to be able to run the football. You know, people think that it's all about the passing game. Man, if you can't run the football, you I don't think you can go far.
Well, they're on the fence, and now it'll be interesting to see what they do. I mean,
well, they're 5-4, right? Yeah. They're in a division that's still
exactly
up in the air. So it's not like, oh my God, we're in a tank now. You know, we just talked about the Raiders who are struggling, and really they're struggling more than the Chargers are, and then Kansas City who's coming on. I think that everybody felt that there was a moment in time when Kansas City would kind of get it going again. And this may be it, or it may be just the Raiders are that bad, but they already beat Kansas City in Kansas City. They play them again at home sometime coming up here, and so they're right in the thick of things. They're not out of it by any means. Denver went back to being Denver again yesterday, so so they're not out of it by any chance, by any shape. But if this is their time right now, these next 2 or 3 weeks is the time for them to really try to make a run and separate themselves to take over the division if they can.
I mean, that division, 2 weeks ago, you'd have been like, oh, man, this is one of the toughest divisions in football. I mean, they look really, really good. But just go to show a couple of weeks later. Now, I mean, look, Kansas City's only one game up. I mean, so they're not like they're crushing it. Like last week, they won. They played Green Bay, they won. But they look terrible. And I said, if they'd had Aaron Rodgers, I think they'd have got blew out.
Yeah.
So that's just, you know, that's just how football is. One week you look good, one week you look bad. I mean, just like Arizona lost yesterday.
Yeah.
they got a good old whooping. The Steelers, they tied with the Lions. So that's football.
Yeah.
Don't go all Winston Moss.
Man, you gave me Winston Moss treatment. You cut me off with the music, Fred. You gonna cut the music on when I'm trying to say something, Fred? The hell's wrong with you?
It was Ronnie. All right. Something I noticed in the game yesterday. Rodney, you've touched on it a couple of times this year. I want to get your take, guys, when we get back.
Johnny Juzang one more time. Long Beach State makes the trip to Westwood to take on the UCLA Bruins at Pauley Pavilion. Don't miss a moment of the action with pregame at 7:30, tip-off at 8 on your official home of UCLA Bruins basketball.
AM 570 LA Sports.
AM 570 LA Sports. Thanks for joining us on your ride.
Thank you very much, yes.
Speaking of which, traffic.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
AM 570 LA Sports.
From the Rams to the Raiders to the Chargers, this is LA Football Mondays on AM 570 LA Sports. Eric Dickerson, Fred Rogan, and Rodney Peete are presented by your Southern California Ford dealers. Visit buyfordnow.com.
Oh, yes. Welcome back, LA Football Monday. Rodney Peete, Fred Rogan, Hall of Famer Eric, travel the world, Dickerson.
That'd be you. I'm on
Puerto
a yacht.
Rico.
I'm on a yacht riding the peach.
Guys, let me ask you this. I saw it yesterday in the Charger-Viking game. Rodney, you've talked about this. So there's a play, Minnesota on fourth down is going to fake a punt. And they snap the ball to the up back, and he takes off to the left side. They make the play. He starts running. The whistle blows. They stop the play. And nobody really knows what happened. Here's what happened. Despite the fact that the referee said play, right, gave the signal, the ball's in play, go ahead, he then blew the whistle because he said the umpire was not in the correct position to officiate. So the umpire was out of position. Despite the fact he said play, they snapped the ball to the up back. Now, Minnesota won. If that play had made a difference, because they're not going to try two times in a row, that would have been a terrible thing. And I thought yesterday, and maybe it was just me, there seemed like there were more stoppages for flags and conversations than I've seen in a long time. What do you think about the officiating this year? Has this just been a bad year for officiating?
It feels that way, right? It feels like, and we talked about this, it feels like it's been bad for officiating. That what was a game last week that we talked about that it was just, it went against...
Bears?
Yeah,
the Bears. Yes. He's looking at the sidelines and they threw a flag and an unsportsmanlike and he didn't do anything. And then Justin Fields gets, you know, hit in the head by two different people and the guy's looking right at him, doesn't throw the flag. There's been a lot of inconsistencies in the way they call the game right now. And it's becoming blatant. It really is. But that play, yeah, it could have cost him the game. If you start the game and then start the play and then they stop it for that reason, it just doesn't make any sense. But yeah, it feels like there's been some really bad officiating in multiple games this year.
Now, let me tell you something. If you don't think some of these officials don't like certain teams or don't like certain players,
you're not going to start that.
Come on, man. Come on, dog. I mean, Fred, they're human. They're not robots. These are humans. It's like, think about it, right? Yep. It's like, I mean, they might not never say, like, I can't stand Bill Belichick's ass. Mm-hmm. I can't stand him. Or, man, I love Bill Belichick. I love the Patriots. You know, that's the truth. I mean, they might not say it. Some of the calls will reflect it. And some of them may be real subtle calls. But come on, man, Fred. Some of this stuff is, it is what it is. It's like that the one that they threw on the linebacker. Did you see the referee look like he backed into him and one
yes.
through the – Yeah. Like he backed into it and each other guy tried to miss him. He tried to miss the referee and the referee backed into him and threw the flag on him. Yeah. Now, what's that all about? And you saw it. And if you didn't have it on film or tape where you could slow it down, you say, oh, that didn't happen. There's no way that happened.
Were there guys, Eric, that you knew were going to give you a hard time when you played?
Officials?
Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, it was a certain official I didn't like. I mean, it was one I used to call him. I said, you must be the sock police. I mean, Eric, pull your socks up. I'm like, they're up. Pull them all the way up. So I'd pull them up. I'd pull them up. And it's like, I get in my stance. I'd push him back down. You know, I get in my stance. And I won't forget. I can't say, hey, get out the game. Go to the sideline. I'm like, what? Your socks down. I'm like, they tackling me, man. No, you pushed him down. I saw you push him down. I'm like, all right. So I'd leave the game.
Well, that used to drive you crazy, D, that they would be worrying about your now they got guys on the side. Like Chris Hale is that guy on the side. He's the uniform police for the Ram games at home. But, yeah, there used to be officials' job that they would look at you, oh, tuck your shirt in. I just got tackled on a play, got sacked by three people, and the first thing you talking about is put my shirt back in my pants. You should be worried about who holding.
But I'm going to tell you something. They hit me with a fine of $500 one time. I said, oh, you ain't got to worry about me. I'm going to keep my socks up. So Chris made a good point. Like you said, Chris works for the league. And he said, Eric, he said, I had the fine now for socks is $5,000. So he said, it's $5,000 or $7,000. He said, I asked the guy, he said, man, your socks are down. You know, you got to have the white showing or, you know, the red or whatever. He said, man, but look right here. He said, let me ask you a question. Would you go to a store and pay $7,000 for some socks? He said, no. He said, okay, I get it. I said, all right, there you go. I said, you make him get it.
So Chris Hale monitors both teams when the games are here
Yeah.
and walks around and tells them to pull up their socks or just makes notes.
No, I think he does one team. He does the Rams.
So he'll let you know. He won't be like some guys won't even let you know.
They wouldn't tell you. Yeah,
they wouldn't tell you. They just find you. They write you up and say, "Oh, his socks were too low," or you know, his shirt was untucked, or he wore the wrong color sleeves, or whatever it may be, because you have to be all in uniform code, and they won't tell you. And all the thing, you know, as Eric said, you'll come in on a Monday or Tuesday, and you'll see an envelope in your locker that you got fined for a uniform violation. But the good ones will tell you, hey, your socks got to come up a little bit, or you know, just keep your shirt tucked in, or that piece got to come off. There's a certain wristband; it's not part of the league uniform. Take that off. But there are a number of them out there that won't tell you; they just write you up.
He said last year the Rams one game. I think they played the 49ers. They had a $71,000 in fines. Just the football team.
For uniform code.
Yeah, for uniform code. He said, I told him, I kept warning him. He said, all of a sudden, boom, that for that game, they won $71,000.
Yeah, because Chris has got to get, he's got to write a report too. Yeah. So if somebody in the league office says, hey, you know, these guys were, look at the half the team were in violation, it comes back on Chris for not reporting it. Yeah. So he's got to do his gig.
He told me this yesterday, actually. The quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. What's his name?
Kyler Murray.
He said, okay, Kyler Murray got hurt. Took his helmet off and they had the camera on him the whole time. So he had a Nike headband on. So the NFL, they don't have a deal with him, I guess, wearing something above the neck, but below the neck is different. He said, I went to the guy, said the league called him and said, hey, tell Kyler Murray to take that headband off. He said, okay, he said, if not, I think it was $33,000. He said, so he went to the equipment guy and said, hey, Kyle needs to take the headband off. He said, if not, it's going to cost him $33,000. He said, he took it right off. I said, that's a smart guy. Yeah, because a lot of these guys, they put away $200,000 for fines because they want to look good. Ain't no way in the hell I would do that.
I'm going to pay the fine.
I'm going to keep the money.